Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good evening, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the weekly Radio Free Redoubt podcast. Belated a couple of days. And I want to thank you guys for your patience there. As the live listeners knew on Sunday, we had some things come up and were not able to get the show out in time. On Sunday, I was planning to get it out Monday morning and then Monday afternoon. And, well, whenever I make plans. Seems like life happens, but I did not want to go 2 weeks without a podcast. There's quite a bit going on in the world, as you all know, and I wanted to share some things with you tonight here on episode 2335. In segment two, I wanted to cover something that was kind of interesting that I thought that patriots should just have there for their situational awareness. If you remember last week, there was a January 6th suspect, Todd Yetman, who was seen holding a pepper spray canister, and somebody else was pepper spraying toward the police over a wall. They set it down. He went and picked it up, and he sprayed it, and then he set it down. Well, apparently they ID'd him 3 years later now, and it's important to go after him like a serial killer with a platoon-sized SWAT team and armored vehicles and everything else. Well, he took off running and turned into a 2-day manhunt. He finally went to the police station without incident, just turned himself in so he could deal with it, confront, the charges. But what's interesting that came from that was the FBI, according to this assistant U.S. attorney who's been representing several of these J6 clients, said that they had Todd Yetman under surveillance for an extended period to the day that they tried to arrest him. And this brought something out, and that's these special surveillance units or special surveillance teams. And I just thought this would be a very interesting topic to cover. They've been around for a while, but this kind of just came to light. So it's a situational awareness story. And then in segment three, the border threat updates. We've been covering this. Some of this is new. Some of it's just updates to what we already know, but something that we should be paying very close attention to. So first, though, let's get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary brought to you by the podcast Prepping 2.0 with Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher. And the website is prepping2-0.com. Check them out. All right, first of all, from Amir Sarfati, we've got a few stories from him. He's really keeping a close track on this situation in Israel and the Middle East and the world. And he's turned out to be a very, very credible and reliable source. He has passed on some information that wasn't fully vetted, and then he retracted it or corrected it. So he's been really good in that regard. But usually his stuff is trustworthy right out the gate. He's earned it. Well, we just put out a report that 41 attacks have been carried out against U.S. military forces since October 17th. We're talking about in the Middle East with rocket attacks, drone attacks, and we're talking about our troops in Syria and Iraq. And primarily they're guarding U.S. oil production facilities and civilian work crews and also the special operations that are involved with the Iranian-backed militias and Hezbollah and the movement of weapons and all kinds of other stuff going on in that part of the world. Well, now it's 52 attacks and probably more by now. Just this morning on Tuesday morning, it was 52 attacks that was raised. So Blinken said that any attacks by Iran would be met with very deliberate force and overwhelming force, immediate reaction. But what we've actually seen is kind of playing patty cakes with these guys and not really taking the fight to them. But that could be changing because of the buildup of forces, unprecedented buildup of NATO, especially U.S. forces, completely surrounding Israel from the Mediterranean all the way to, you know, to the Gulf of Oman and that whole area, the Persian Gulf. So next, from the White House, Pentagon spokesperson also reads a statement declassifying U.S. intelligence assessment on Hamas, saying that the Palestinian Islamic Jihad and their use of hospitals, because this is what the Israeli intelligence has been saying for a long, since the beginning, before this war broke out, that they are using mosques, schools, hospitals, everything else for their bases of operations and their tunnels and command and control facilities deliberately underneath hospitals. And people are, of course, that's what Israel intelligence would say. It's been confirmed. From the White House, their statement, we do have information that Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad use some hospitals in the Gaza Strip, including the Al-Shifa Hospital, which is surrounded right now. They're evacuating it, and the Israelis are allowing it to be evacuated, and they're going to work that place over all the way down. 80 meters down is how deep these tunnel systems go. But as a way to conceal and support their military operations and hold hostages, they have tunnels underneath these hospitals. Hamas and PIJ members operate a command and control node from Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City. They have weapons stored there and are prepared to respond to an Israeli military operation against the facility. Well, they're about ready to get hammered. Switching gears here a little bit, this article from the Inside Paper came out, and it's getting redistributed widely. I've had several people send it to me. It's titled, Solar Superstorm May Shut Down Internet for Months, Scientist Warns. Now, to most of us in the emergency communications world, this is actually not a new story. This is something that usually some scientist comes out. It's good for clickbait and visits to websites. And it doesn't really generate any new news or information. But there was something that jumped out at me in this that I thought was something that I remember reading quite some time ago and had forgotten about, so I would pass it along. But in this story, Professor Peter Becker and his team are on a mission to develop a warning system that can alert us about risky solar activity that might harm important technology. Now, we do already have that through different solar weather apps and so on. But I think they're talking about something different, something that could industry-wide for critical infrastructure to give them some type of warning system that they can respond to. So the internet has come of age during a time when the sun has been relatively quiet and now entering a more active time. This is his quote. It's the first time in human history that there's been an intersection of increased solar activity with our dependence on the internet and our global economic dependence on the internet. That part is the same thing that gets regurgitated every time one of these articles comes out. The latest update from NOAA's Space Weather Prediction Center suggests that solar cycle 25 might be more intense and hit its peak earlier than initially anticipated. Initial projections pointed to a peak around July of 2025, but the center now hints that the most intense phase could happen as early as the beginning to the middle of 2024. So we're talking 6 to 8 months. The power grid, satellites, underground fiber optic cables with copper coatings, navigation and GPS systems, radio transmitters, and communications gear are all at risk. This is something we all know. But here's something that I was reminded of and had forgotten about. These last two paragraphs. And then you get this kind of insidious thing where you could actually get current from ground, Becker said, the scientist. So everybody thinks, oh, my computer's grounded, I'm okay. But in an event like this, if you drive inductive currents to the surface of the Earth, it can almost work backwards, and you can end up actually frying things that you thought were relatively safe. So he's saying, he goes on to say, you know, if we have a warning, we can pull systems offline, we can put satellites into safe mode and whatnot. So we could bring things back up online safely and effectively. But that's a very good point. And you'll see a lot, there are a lot of YouTube videos out there on, you know, building a Faraday cage and a Faraday protection box for your sensitive electronics. But then there's this conundrum. Do you ground it? Some say, absolutely, you must ground it. Others are saying, do not ground your Faraday cages or Faraday boxes. And the reason why those that say don't points right back to what the scientist is saying. Because the ground can be, you know, very inductive. And now you've got grounding rods acting like reverse antennas pulling in these very, very powerful electromagnetic signals, acting as kind of reverse lightning rods, you know, bringing that energy from the ground up through your grounding system, and all of your equipment that you have grounded are now receiving this, you know, this high power electromagnetic energy. So the consensus is, do not ground your Faraday protection equipment just for this reason. Something I keyed in on, I thought I would pass back along to you. From police frequency, foreign students in the U.S. on student visas who are expressing support for Hamas, a terrorist organization, just as long as you're not reading the BBC, who refuse, they can't not bring themselves to say Hamas is a terrorist organization, but they are. So, students with student visas expressing support for Hamas, pushing anti-Semitism, or causing other disturbances can be deported if their schools suspend them. Now, that's according to U.S. law. That's Title 8, U.S.C. 1227, Deportable Aliens. But with that being said, the article goes on to state, schools may hesitate to suspend for this reason in an effort to protect students. I would not be a bit surprised. And the Biden administration regime would be very unlikely to remove these students, as they wouldn't be a priority for removal under their current DHS policies. We're going to talk about those DHS policies here in segment 3. But the law would allow it. 18 U.S. Code 1227 says non-immigrant status violators. Any alien who was admitted as a non-immigrant and who has failed to maintain the non-immigrant status in which the alien was admitted or to which it was changed under Section 1258 of this title, or to comply with the conditions of any such status, is deportable. And of course, students that are engaged in this kind of activity would be out of compliance with the conditions for the non-immigrant status. So we can only hope, though, right? Meanwhile, of course, you know, white supremacy, white nationalism, nationalists, Christian nationalists, MAGA, whatever, they're all the same thing, pose the most significant threat to our homeland. And New York Governor Kathy Hochul made the announcement that the state, New York State, has started conducting special media surveillance efforts to monitor hate speech. Something tells me that they do not have pro-Hamas or anti-Jewish, anti-Israel, you know, death to all Jews or any of that kind of speech is probably not on their radar. It's going to be, you know, the other kind of hate speech. But listen to what she says.
Also, we're very focused on the data we're collecting from surveillance efforts. What's being said on social media platforms. And we have launched an effort to be able to counter some of the negativity and reach out to people when we see hate speech being spoken about on online platforms. Our media analysis, our social media analysis unit, has ramped up its monitoring of sites to catch incitement to violence, direct threats to others. And all this is in response to our desire, our strong commitment to ensure that not only do New Yorkers be safe, but they also feel safe.
Yeah, social media surveillance efforts, analyzing, focusing on the data that they're collecting. But it would be one thing if they looked for any, you know, calls for violence. That would make sense. But they're focusing on, you know, hate speech and only on certain kinds of hate speech that would promote violence. While they have historically looked the other way, allowed, if not facilitated, calls for violence or action against a people or group that's, you know, this was politically acceptable. Because, you know, hey, we got to support Hamas, right? That's a super high priority for us. But anyway, this next one here, this maybe this anti-hate data collection thing is to prevent people from speaking out against things like this. From Law Enforcement Today, a satanic temple is coming after your elementary school kids. As cities and towns across the U.S. implement radical trans policies in schools, even small towns have not been spared. The latest way leftists are targeting children is via a so-called after-school Satan club. And in this case, a small town in Connecticut is the target. When we said they're after our children, and they're like, paw, nobody's after your children. Well, in Lebanon, Connecticut, it's a small town, rural population of like 7,200, according to a 2018 census. The town is about 20 miles southeast of Hartford, Connecticut's capital city. And Law Enforcement Today received a tip about the new after-school activity to be hosted at the Lebanon Elementary School via a flyer sent out. And news of the after-school Satan Club went viral shortly after they were notified. So the ASSC volunteers are ready to create fun and inviting places for students to learn and make new friends. The group posted on social media, not everyone is buying it. A pastor we spoke to claims that Satan, a.k.a. the devil, is a master deceiver, and the group trying to gloss over the invocation of Satan in the club's name is part of that deception. Yeah, and of course, this is right on the heels of these different satanic rituals that we're seeing exposed now with Lady Gaga and these others involved with these, you know, sacrificial ritualistic gatherings. And, oh, let's get the children involved because we know that it'll be a fun and safe place for them to make friends. Of course, this is coming right off the heels of, you know, Halloween, where child sacrifice and child abductions are, you know, spike. But it'll be fun, they say. And here's something else very interesting. This is our final story here for the news and commentary segment. And this is local here in the American Redoubt. A patriot picked this up who follows along with Spokane News. They have an app. And this story came out. And this is just raw text. As they're receiving this story, they're texting it. Well, he captured it, did a screenshot, and sent it to me. West Regina and North Stevens, those are street names in Spokane, reported a birthday party at the church with a couple hundred people. Callers reported a group of high or intoxicated teens to early 20s guys came in and started attacking people. Police arrived and suspects started fighting with police. Emergency backup was requested. And then a short time right after that, the following post on Spokane News, with no time lapse indicated. And I'm not sure how long after the first one was posted, but it states, Spokane PD source advised us the suspects are foreign and have gang violence history. No further information. So, this patriot, retired officer in the military, is going to be filing a public records request to get more information about this, because we're very interested to learn what do they mean by foreign and gang violence history. So we want to know more about these. It's getting pretty spooky out there. So as we say, go armed everywhere. Always be ready to defend life and understand the times that we are in, like the sons of Issachar, right? All right, stick around. Segment two coming up right after this, Patriots. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
One podcast dares to be different. Before thousands were brutally killed, including Americans. Before Iran helped Hamas plan the attack, killing Americans. Before Biden gave billions of taxpayers' money to Iran. Trump played hardball with Iran. Destroyed ISIS. Kept the Middle East at peace. Kept us out of endless wars. Through strength.
History shows very plainly that evil only respects one thing, unyielding strength. When I'm back in the White House, our enemies will know if you spill a drop of American blood, we will spill a gallon of yours.
President Trump, the strength we need to make America strong again.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
All right, welcome back, Christian Patriots, to segment two of Radio Free Redoubt, the weekly podcast. This is episode 23-35. And in this segment, I want to talk about these special surveillance groups. I came across this quite some time ago, a few years ago, and I think I even, if I recall correctly, I think I even covered this or did a segment on it. But it's worth bringing back up, and this is what kind of kicked it all off. Just because of this most recent manhunt with this January 6th Patriot, this is a National Guardsman, honorably served his country in Afghanistan and Iraq, took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. The guy has, from all counts, he is an upstanding, productive citizen, a patriot who loves his country, and not a criminal history, and took his oath seriously when he saw this coup take place where his government was unlawfully trying to peacefully, that means don't resist, transfer of power to someone who did not win the presidential election. And, well, that infuriated millions and millions of Americans. And of course, they'd love to be able to put a list together of who was infuriated by that so they can lock them all up. But right now, they're in phase two now. After phase one is everybody that was, you know, the low-hanging fruit. Well, they've recently solicited these internet sleuths to use footage from January 6th to try to locate and identify these people and who are they, and so they get these tips rolling in. That's how this guy, Todd Yetman, apparently his name came up. And somebody identified him as one of the people, allegedly, who picked up a tear gas canister and sprayed it toward police over this concrete abutment. So now, we're not even getting into Antifa and BLM ambushing police, like killing them, burning patrol cars, attempting to blow up police stations, and calling for the killing of all cops. You know, this is a, you know, non-lethal irritant made to, you know, cause somebody's eyes to redden and itch and burn and to, you know, keep them back. So, all right. So this is what this assistant U.S. attorney, United States attorney writes. Reference stories about FBI having Todd Yetman under surveillance for an extended period prior to the day that they tried to arrest him. He says, this is from Shipwrecked Crew. His profile on Twitter states that he is a assistant U.S. attorney who has defended multiple J6 clients. He's a January 6th client defender. He says, I have seen this pattern in the discovery on many of my J6 clients. Frankly, it shocks me how often they have done this. In 21 plus years as an AUSA, assistant U.S. attorney, I can think of maybe 4 to 6 times when either the FBI or the DEA maintained ongoing surveillance of a defendant prior to arrest. It was always because of fear the subject was aware of their impending arrest and had resources to flee and a place to go. Which we've not hardly seen any of these J6 guys, try to flee or run. They want to get this, you know, addressed head on. They want to get it behind them because they know they're innocent or their charges are frivolous. So anyway, in these J6 cases, I see it being done to people who have no idea they're being investigated. Two of my clients were never even visited by the FBI prior to their arrest. Yet the FBI field offices are wasting man hours, hundreds of them, following J6 subjects around for weeks or months with no particular purpose. Except, and this is always on the list of unspoken reasons, the man hours devoted to surveillance by agents and SSG personnel, that's these special surveillance group personnel, is a stat that justifies higher budget authorization for the next fiscal year. Getting bigger budgets and more resources is a never-ending exercise in the government, and the FBI is no different. They had dozens of measurable metrics by which field office productivity is measured. Having agents sit on their behinds in the office is not one of them. Making spot checks on a subject's residence or following them around in the morning to see what patterns there are, get those agents out of the office and into a stat column. So the article goes on. What is SSG? Special surveillance groups. These are non-agents, not gun carriers, employed to conduct surveillance. They follow you around with a camera and document your travels and habits. They do not operate out of FBI offices. They have off-site offices that are leased in the names of shell companies. It's really just a place for them to gather and organize and do some paperwork at the end of the day. They dress like anyone going to the grocery store. They never make contact with any subject, and they never ID themselves or what they're doing. SSGs follow people around. J6 subjects give them a long list of things to keep them busy on a daily or weekly basis, and the FBI management in the field office they work in can say, at the end of the year, we need approval of another SSG squad for the next year. It's almost beyond comical. So that's what this attorney writes. Now, there is a, on Twitter, there is a author and independent investigative journalist named Julie Kelly. She picked up on this as well, and I thought this was interesting and worth passing along. And this is the account of her talking to the brother of the J6 prisoner who had turned himself in. So, Julie Kelly spoke with Todd Yetman, the brother of Gregory Yetman, who the FBI was after And let me find them, scroll down here. I just spoke with Todd Yetman, brother of Gregory, the man hunted down by FBI for J6-related offenses. The conversation was sad, infuriating, and in some instances, funny. First, he said the FBI staked out their home for 3 months prior to the raid on Wednesday morning. Now, no other information is given. How do they know that their home was staked out for 3 months prior to the raid? That information is not given together. But he lives together. These three brothers, Todd, Greg, and another brother, live together in the home their father built in New Jersey. After Todd and his brother left for work at 6 a.m., Greg left the house around 7 a.m. to go to work. They all work for the same company. That's when armed FBI agents and SWAT vehicles surrounded Greg. Greg walked out, froze in the face of guns drawn, and ran. A woman who lives with them heard the commotion. When she opened the door, she faced armed agents who told her to get on the ground. She thought they were being robbed. About 30 armed agents stormed the house and property. They threw flashbangs inside areas of the property, including the garage, and this resulted in broken windows of vehicles and boat. Of course, they don't care. That's part of the punishment. Break stuff and then no accountability. Quoted, they went nutty, tore up the house, stuff scattered everywhere. Agents told Todd after he returned to the house that afternoon from work to open his gun safe. When he refused, they told him if he didn't, they would break it open. And although not a defendant, FBI took his guns and ammo. So the brother says, who killed someone? They treated my brother like a criminal, Todd said. Vehicles were everywhere, blocking the driveway, parked around the property. FBI and local law enforcement used helicopters, drones, and search dogs to try to track down Greg. And that's when Todd again confronted the agents. Go get Hunter. Go get Joe Biden, he said. Every one of you is corrupt. You're all Joe Biden's puppets. He demanded to know why they were not arresting Antifa and BLM. Well, those are precisely the things that I would say if I were in his situation. And then they asked him not to be rude. That's funny. News reporters were staked out near the house the entire time. The FBI asked Todd if the media tried to interview him. He said no, but had hoped they had. They are as corrupt as you guys, he says. So then this search ensued. And the brother saying, you know, he's sick to his stomach. There will be no justice. That's the sad thing about it. I feel bad for the country and my kids. So I'll just skip the rest of it. But right now, this portion in here, Department of Justice boasted in a J6 update this week that more than 1,200 individuals have been arrested and charged over the four-hour disturbance. And attorney Matthew Graves warned the final count could exceed 2,000. That's right. They're going to keep going. This what's essentially turned into modern-day Gestapo, and they're going to make anybody who... No violence at all. People that just walked around in the building there are arresting. Grandmas. But there's an article that I want to point you to that you can look up for yourself. And this came out in 2008. So quite a long time ago. We're what, 15 years ago? In July of 2008, from the NPR. And I saved the text from this, because it just makes very interesting reading. And they talk about these FBI surveillance teams and revealing the tricks of the trade. Now, some of it is very elementary, 101 level, following somebody around and taking notes on their activities. But it's still relevant because they're using these SSGs, special surveillance groups. They're not FBI agents. They're just contracted civilians. So somebody that you meet. So here's the thing. If you're a patriot, you're actively involved, maybe you're a mother who's been approaching your board to get pornography removed from your school library, involved or active as a patriot in any capacity, start really using situational awareness. And I would say at this point, deny the adversary information. Don't hand it to them like low-hanging fruit on a silver platter. Start being more aware of your surroundings. start being more guarded for this the new person that enters your life and is befriending you and getting more information from you, people that might be following you. And tighten up on the personal security, personal activities, groups you might be affiliated with, or patriot organizations or activities that you're doing. Like I said, even if it's just being involved with your school board, they're treating as domestic terrorist threats. And so anyway, read up on that. You can go to NPR and look at FBI surveillance team reveals tricks of the trade. It's an article at NPR. FBI surveillance team reveals tricks of the trade. So there you go. There's your situational awareness segment to know that they're not letting up and some of the ways that they're doing it. So we'll be back with segment three. We're going to give a border update. American military news and law enforcement today have been bringing more information. They've been down at the border documenting what's going on. And of course, I have a update from Michael Yon, who's been down there in the Darien Gap in Panama. This is not only not going away, but it's getting worse by the day. So that when we come back. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more. Welcome back to segment three now of the weekly podcast, episode 23-35. And here in segment three, I want to revisit this threat from our southern border. Really, it's not just the border, but that's the largest threat, with some developments, because we just, as many of you saw in the news last week, new warnings about terrorism from this Hamas attack. And from military news, they were quoting Christopher Wray from the FBI. And he said, "We assess that the actions of Hamas and its allies will serve as an inspiration, the likes of which we haven't seen since ISIS launched its so-called caliphate several years ago." He noted that over the past several weeks, various terrorist organizations have called for increased attacks against the United States and other Western nations. As examples, Wray said that Al-Qaeda recently issued its most specific call to violence against the U.S. in the past 5 years. ISIS issued a call to target Jewish communities throughout Europe and the United States, and Hezbollah has publicly supported Hamas and threatened violence against U.S. interests in the Middle East. Now, some things have changed since we've heard some of these calls for violence against the United States. We have never had a border so open And the United States so vulnerable to infiltration from actors, people that are on terror watch lists, but even more than that, those that are not on terror watch lists that are coming here with the same intent, because they're traveling together. We'll get to that in just a moment. But on Law Enforcement Today, they had their CEO, Kyle Reyes, put out a posting saying that this is not some wild conspiracy theory or hearsay. He's been down on the border with law enforcement and seeing what's going on down there. And of course, you know, they acquired Law Enforcement Today, Blue Lives Matter, the Police Tribune, and other law enforcement pages and sites. And they're really turning into, you know, the largest police news outlet in the world, like their article says. But he says he's personally been spending massive amount of time working directly with local, state, and federal law enforcement across the country, and spent 10 years with them. And so he's been getting intel directly from the contacts in law enforcement that are operating on the front lines. And they've been filming with officers and agencies doing ride-alongs, breaking bread and praying with cops and seeing just how bad things are. He said, we're hearing directly from law enforcement on the ground about foreign nationals that have been captured in secure locations at chemical and power plants, then released. We're seeing known terrorists be captured and others evade capture, then disappear into America. And cops are being told to stand down, release criminals, and keep their mouths shut. Now, here's a video where they are down on the border in a remote place in Texas, and he's with the president of the Border Patrol Council, the vice president of the Border Patrol Council, talking about the threat and what they're up against now. So this is an update. He mentioned some things that we haven't come across before. Take a listen.
So it's estimated, if you get their numbers and what they say, they're estimating that there's been individuals from 168 different countries that have come through here. And that is what's scary. When you start talking about the gotaways, that is where it gets even more scarier. It's so easy to come across. You're getting other areas further west of Texas, in the same Texas state, but a little bit further west, coming towards Arizona, where you're getting more individuals from China or individuals from Cuba. Out here in this area, you've been seeing a lot of individuals from Syria, from Egypt, and from Mauritania. The problem is, if you have that many individuals, and they're in the thousands, that are coming through here, and they don't speak any English, where is it they're gonna get employed? Who's employing these individuals? But they're coming across, they're claiming asylum, they're getting released. Now, you've heard about it many times that, you know, there's individuals that have been apprehended, they're on the terrorist watch list. Now, so you apprehend a group of individuals, let's say 50, that are all from the same village, from the same place of the world. They've been traveling for many months together. They've made the arrangements with the same cartels. Those cartels have made the arrangements with the same human smuggling organizations. So they've been together for a long time. They come through these areas that's very porous. They get apprehended. And if there's 50, and say there's two of them in that group that are on the terrorist watch list, You have to be worried about the rest of the group, because they've been traveling together and they're in the same area. Now, you're looking at terrorist watch list. We're looking at vetting individuals with past criminal history.
And that's somewhat of a lengthy interview down there, the interview video on the border. But, you know, this is something, and he's confirming reports that we've seen before. These people are coming from China and Cuba, and particularly China. They're military age, mostly males. There are some females, but they don't seem to be traveling like a couple, like a family. These are most likely agents, intelligence, logistical, and saboteurs and special operations operators from the Communist Chinese Party, from the PLA, the People's Liberation Army. And many of them don't speak English. Any English or very little, and they're coming in claiming asylum and then being released and then nobody knows where they are. A lot of times their asylum hearings are years down the road, 3 to 5 years away. So this is, you know, pretty spooky, but one thing that he points out, they talk about the numbers of those that are on terror watch lists, and they're when they apprehend these guys, because there's a lot of gotaways. They didn't capture them, so these guys will be traveling in groups of 10, 20, 30, 50 people. They're all from the same country. They're from the same village or the same valley, obviously in close affiliation with each other, coming from hostile nations that are breeding grounds for terrorism. 2 of the 50 are on the terror watch list. So what do you think about the other 48 in their group? Just didn't happen to get logged into the database and be listed as terrorists. But these guys that are coming from the same place, from the same country, traveling the same way, using the same contacts, the same routes, sticking together all the way through, and 2 of them are on the terror watch list, you probably have 50 jihadists there in that group. And they're only catching a fraction of these guys. So this is a whole new era now where ISIS or Al-Qaeda calls for attacks in the U.S. They didn't have the manpower here. Now, Hezbollah and Hamas and Muslim Brotherhood, they've always had cells that were suspected to be sleeper cells, but so far have not gone operational on the scale that we've seen, like on October 7th in Israel. But intelligence analysts are saying this is a whole new game now, and we could see something like what happened in Israel on October 7th on U.S. soil, or U.S., Britain, France, Australia, simultaneously coordinated together and all kicking off. And you can imagine the paralyzing effects that it would have on this country, which I've talked about before. But I've got one more update here. This is from Michael Yon and his Twitter page. And he's been down in the Darien Gap quite a bit, covering the United Nations immigration camps and how they're building more. So I want to share this posting with you from him. And he writes, "Meanwhile, uncategorized Arabs flow through Darien every hour, including Palestinians I personally encounter. As of today, illegal aliens are able to pass straight through Colombia, Panama, Costa Rica with very little human-made delay and a great deal of human facilitation, especially so by United States and the UN. The UN is massive, has a massive presence in Panama, and the U.S. funds and facilitates the UN. And he's posted pictures and video of these UN sites down there, refugee centers, providing rape kits for children and women and other, you know, water bottles and first aid kits and maps of how to get into the United States, cell phones with apps that they can use to guide their way to and into the United States, with scripts of exactly what to say and how to say it if they are encountered by Border Patrol, and how to work the system and claim asylum, and they get processed as asylees or asylum seekers, and they're kicked loose. So, after crossing Darien Gap from Colombia into Panama, unidentified aliens load buses, and he writes, now, right in front of me, and can, as of today, drive completely through Panama into Costa Rica to the Nicaraguan border. The price now per head per bus for a bus ride from Darien in Panama is $60 a person over 5 years old. People do not have the $60, can work for 5 days around camp to pay for the ticket. So with this new agreement between Panama and Costa Rica to open the border between Panama and Costa Rica, These aliens can now immediately proceed through Panama and Costa Rica in roughly one day. In summary, this means the Chinese route through South America to the United States, the route typically started in Quito, Ecuador, can facilitate Chinese landing in South America and then entering the United States within roughly 2 weeks. Some Chinese can do this within 10 days, depending on the breaks. In other words, Chinese spy or soldiers can leave China and take the southern route to be anywhere in America within about 2 weeks without any trace of entering America. Currently, roughly 60 buses per day are making the journey from Darien. A source told me yesterday the next phase, starting soon, will bring this to 200 buses per day. Two brand new camps are being built in the Darien Gap. This accurate and direct information and more is the source of my estimate that at least 10,000 aliens per day will be successfully crossing through Panama to the United States. 10,000 per day. The new bridge building and other infrastructure being built along the route will easily create conditions for 3 to 4 million per year through Panama. I know this route very well. A few more tweaks can pave the way for 1 million per month coming through here. That's a boots on the ground, eyes on report with evidence that he provides pretty much on a daily basis, multiple times a week, that confirms this. Not just confirms that this is happening, but it's increasing. The volume is increasing, and the infrastructure is being improved to accommodate now millions of people being able to work their way into the United States. Like 1 million per month at some point very soon after these infrastructure improvements are being made. So among those, we've got a three-prong threat. The third prong is your, you know, native South American, Central American that comes here just, you know, because they want a better life, and they've been promised a pot of gold at the end of their journey. And so, you know, they're trying to better their lives. The other two, the Chinese threat and the Islamic threat, are very real, and they're increasing on a regular basis, almost a daily basis. And so we're in a lot of trouble, and there's a lot more to be talked about on this topic: community preparedness, group preparedness, mutual assistance, organizing. You know, we've been talking about a call to return to the militias, regardless of what they call you or, you know, how they try to frame you up or demonize you. It's about survival. And the sooner the people can start getting prepared for that mentally and organized logistically and, you know, physically, the better chances we're going to have when these guys finally get their orders and the flag drops and the lights go out and chaos ensues. So anyway, not conspiracy theory. It's a reality, and the sooner you face it, the sooner you understand what it is you're up against, the sooner you can be on a track to increasing your survival odds. All right, let's take a break. Come back, segment four, Codename segment four. I'll be joining me in the studio. And we'll wrap things up. So stick around, Patriots. We'll be right back.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a Revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
And welcome back to segment four, the fourth and final segment of tonight's show. And speaking of which, I've got Codename segment four, Lady Liberty, in the studio. Good evening, Lady Liberty.
Well, good evening, everyone. And thank you for having me on segment four.
Absolutely.
Well, you've done such an excellent job, as always. And as a continuation of your information, I wanted to address what they're talking about with the Hamas headquarters being found by IDF as being under the Shifa Hospital.
Right.
And it's they have it very clearly outlined from a satellite view, where they have each and every building outlined in white that Hamas is not under in this hospital compound. I mean, it's like this hospital compound is probably, I'd say 15 buildings, all in this, it looks like probably a 5-square block area.
Yeah, this whole complex.
It's a big complex with, I mean, everything that you would expect in a massive hospital complex, right?
Right.
Well, and so it has all of the buildings outlined in white that don't have Hamas underneath them.
Yes.
And then it does have the buildings that they're known to be underneath these buildings. Those are outlined in red.
Right.
And they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of these buildings directly in the middle of this hospital complex, and that are outlined in red, where it shows clearly that there's Hamas underground complex under each of these buildings.
That's right.
So it's wow.
No,
they know that they're there for a fact. And so that's right. Where they're heading into now.
And these are war crimes, by the way. When you deliberately set up, you know, weapons caches, conduct command and control operations from under schools, UN, near UN buildings, in mosques and hospitals, those are war crimes. And the Israelis have gone through great lengths to provide safe corridors for the citizens to be able to safely leave, to evacuate the hospital.
Yep, every time.
And right now, as you and I are doing this show right now, there is heavy fighting around that hospital.
That's right.
The IDF has already taken operational control of key components of that, the courtyards, and they're going into the basement right now. As you know, I'm watching these updates come in from Amir Sarfati.
Right.
And I mean, it is heavy, heavy fighting, which is the indicator that they hit the
jackpot.
The jackpot.
Yeah, with all of those underground facilities directly under each of those buildings.
Yes.
And you know, they've also shown Hamas being underneath major grocery stores. You know, I mean, they call them markets there, but
right.
You know, under what we would call grocery stores, they have them underneath the grocery stores. And
yes.
And when you actually go into these stores, there's not groceries, there's weapon caches.
Right.
And you know, they're also, they found in Gaza that the Israeli army had captured the Rantisi Children's Hospital in Gaza and found Hamas tunnels beneath those hospitals as well. And underneath, they found baby cups, ropes, toilets, and other evidence of hostages having been held in those tunnels.
That's right.
And so here they are. That is a terrible war crime for anybody to do. And that seems to be their whole MO. That's
right.
Where they hide. They put all their tunnels under all of these most needed civilian areas. So that's really stunning that everybody is mad at Israel and IDF when they go in and say, hey, now we're going to bomb them. Get out if you want to live. And
yes.
And then they either can't or they don't. And so, wow.
Right.
Quite the
they are
problem.
Now. There's a lot of them that pretty much they've all cleared out. It's all Hamas there now, and you know, it appears the intelligence information coming out of there is that they are basically, they got the green light to go after Hamas or Hezbollah.
Yes,
in the north. So
right, yeah, because I've got a statement here from Benjamin Netanyahu that said that he has issued a warning to Lebanese group Hezbollah, saying they're playing with fire. And there are those who think they can expand their attacks against our troops and against civilians. Fire will be met with much stronger fire. They must not try us because we have displayed only a little part of our power. We will harm those who harm us.
Yeah.
And that came, that was a quote from Netanyahu out of the Times of Israel.
Yes.
And so, you know, I just say God bless them for fighting back and fighting back as hard as they need to.
Yep.
Because that is not an enemy that will diminish or go away or give up.
Right. They're doing it right.
Yep.
They're not going to ever be able to live in peace. You know, they keep talking about peace in the Middle East, but there is no peace as long as Hamas and Hezbollah are operational.
That's right.
So they need to be rendered no longer a threat, and, or any of the others, you know, the Islamic Jihad and the Iranian-backed militias, all of these, until they're no longer a threat, that's when you stop.
That's
you don't
right.
let up the pressure until it's done.
Nope.
They got the initiative. Why would you take a break?
Right.
You know, they've already provided for civilians to be able to get out of there, and they've been over backwards, really.
Yep.
And so, yeah.
Well, and that's just the nature of those people, too. It's kind of an arrogance characteristic of that group of people, thinking that they can't be beat, that they're superior to all Jews and Christians, and
right.
well, to everybody that is not Islamic. And it is an arrogance. And so when they refuse to get out, it's like an arrogant spirit about them.
Yes, it is.
That you know, they can't be told to leave, you know, because they're superior.
Right.
Right. And it's I don't know, that that's also one of Sun Tzu's statements, that the arrogant enemies are the easiest to defeat.
Yes.
Because they don't use rational thinking, because they think outside of reality. They think they're better than everybody
right.
else, and that they can't be beat, which is a huge, huge fault if
they're
you're
also
going
deceived.
To be in a fight.
Yeah, they're also deceived into thinking they have God on their side.
Well, yeah.
You know,
well,
so.
they're worshiping even the Quran admits that who they worship is the greatest of all deceivers.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
In fact, I had an online discussion with a Muslim about his faith, and I said, "Well, if your Quran describes that who you worship is the greatest deceiver of all, what makes you think that you're not deceived?"
Right. Yeah.
And he actually quit arguing. He quit arguing and went away. I think hopefully
gave
that
something to think about.
Yeah, hopefully that resonated. Maybe you know, there's either truth or lies, and if your Quran basically says that you're worshiping the greatest deceiver ever known, uh-oh.
Yeah. Gotcha. No kidding. All right, well, updates do you got for us?
Yeah, switching gears to the other enemy. We've got the latest update on, oh my gosh, the wreck. The absolute train wreck happening with all of these illegal CCP, special ops people we're
yes.
thinking that are coming across our border. Listen to these numbers and just pair that with the fact that Winnie the Pooh, you know, according to Taiwan,
yes.
President 11 or Grandma Seacow, just showed up in San Francisco, that Newsom cleaned up specifically for him
right.
after having gone over to China and gained his favor all by himself, right?
Right.
Well, so here San Francisco's all nice and sparkly clean, like it hasn't crime been in like a decade now.
Decades.
And here comes Winnie the Pooh in this fantastic parade through the San Francisco streets of all this, like, this
Chinese flags and
yeah, just
Communist Party slogans and
yes, horrific on American
soil. In America.
And couple that with these latest figures of all of their special ops and military aged males and females coming across our southern border, unstoppable, basically. In fiscal year 2021, 23,471 CBP encounters with Chinese citizens. That right. was in 2021. 2022 was 27,756 known encounters. These are known, not even to mention how many are much smarter than that and just slip through unnoticed, undetected. Well, this year in 2023, guess how many have come in so far? 52,700. Wow. So right there, within those 3 years, we've got 100,000 of these CCP soldier military age people that are all here suddenly right now when so is President 11.
Multiple brigade size elements.
Yes.
In the United States.
That's right.
Wow.
So there's easily 100,000 CCP military here right now.
Right.
So is their stinking president.
That and all the jihadis that are getting in place.
That they use as frontline fodder.
Right. And I just watched another video just before segment four here during the break from Muckraker, all these Syrians that he's videoing. And of course, they're all trying to hide their faces and push past him and telling him no and holding their hands up because they don't want to be videoed.
Right.
Just south of the border, down there in Darien, the Darien Gap, working their way toward the United States. So we're in trouble.
We are in massive trouble.
Yeah.
We're being invaded, and Newsom is such a dope. He's facilitating it all.
Yeah.
Well, so is Biden. Biden's right there with him. But, you know, I have to say that pointing out something very, very peculiar that happened with Speaker Johnson this week.
Yeah.
Here he is on board with the whole Patriot Christian community doing everything he should. And then suddenly, screech, he puts the brakes on the Biden impeachment. Okay,
yeah,
so that was very peculiar. Yeah, but think about this for a second. That could be a very smart move because look at what is going on suddenly with the Democrat Party and Biden. Suddenly the Democrats are going, yeah, he's looking pretty bad. He's looking so bad. He's so bad. We better be trying to figure out who's going to replace him. Like he shouldn't even be running, right?
Right.
Well, then look who pops up his ugly head and zips over to China all by himself and gains favor of Winnie the Pooh.
Gavin Nuisance.
Yes.
Yep.
And so
I've been saying for a long time, he's the Democrat candidate.
Well,
he's
exactly.
The one they're
going
to put up there.
And so here they are both there licking the boots of President 11 while he's in San Francisco, all nice and cleaned up for him.
Right.
And so I have to say that might be very, very smart of Speaker Johnson to not impeach him just yet, because look, I think the Democrats have Newsom all lined up to step right into his position the second he's gone.
Well, the timing is everything. I have to admit that. I mean, I'd say impeach the guy. He needs to go down. But if they're successful in doing that and removing him, that puts Kamala in that position, which could be, right. I mean, the blow to the morale of America and the standing of the United States. If you think it couldn't get any lower with Biden in there, get Kamala in that position.
Well, exactly. And that would also shove Newsom right into position number one.
Right.
And so here he is. He's already the you know, I'm sure, fraudulently elected governor of California. And so how easy for him. I think it's a very, very sharp idea to suddenly not be impeaching Biden until it's too late for Newsom to run much of a campaign towards the end of next year.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but
I think it could be a very, very smart move.
There could be some strategy there, and you know, and I wouldn't mind if he just came right out and said it. We're not going to impeach him. There's massive evidence, but we're going to hold off because we don't want Newsom. America can't stand Kamala being in there. We can't afford that.
That's right.
That's inviting an invasion. If there wasn't already one. That would pretty much seal the deal for the fate of America and also, you know, keeping nuisance out of there.
That's right.
So, but that'd be great to just come right out and say it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll just sit back and watch because that was such a peculiar, just
development.
Off just suddenly out in right field, you know?
Yes.
Like, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What just happened? And I think that was it. The fact that, Nuisance went over there to China suddenly all by himself. Everybody went, what was
right.
that? You know, holy yep. moly.
Yeah, that was a shocker. So,
yep.
All right. Well, good. Good updates. Good conversation. And we're keeping an eye on things from up on the wall here. We're
That's right.
keeping watch.
That's right. And I also wanted to just point out another little bit of biblical addition to the current situation with China, Israel, and the United States. That something just kind of popped into my head about, what about the Euphrates River drying up? Right?
Right.
Does that actually mean that China is going to head over to Israel once that happens? Or does that mean that since we are grafted in, we're the Christian version of, you know, we're the Gentile version of the grafted in Israelis at this point, according
right.
to Jesus?
Yeah, not replacement, but...
Not replacement, but...
Almost like
but
two branches, like you said.
Well, like it said in our word of the day on the morning commute, it said, Jesus said that both Jew and Gentile are one under him in heaven.
Right.
And so if we're one there, we're still of the same tree at this point as well. And so here we've got the Euphrates River dried up almost to nothing but a tiny little creek anymore.
Right.
And when it used to be a vast, vast, massive river. And here we have China now in America, right along with their president in America,
right.
as we speak. And we've also got China backing Hamas and Egypt.
Yes.
And they're all over Israel right now. So China's all over both Israel and the United States right now. And the Euphrates River is very nearly completely dried up.
Yeah. Well,
and if you can,
something
you can
to think about.
You can look this up. There's actually two separate chapters in Revelation regarding the Euphrates River drying up and the 200 million man army from China.
Right.
There's two separate chapters. One is in Revelation 16, the sixth bowl being poured out. The other is in Revelation 9, the sixth trumpet. And both refer to the same event of the Euphrates drying
yes.
up. Yes. And while the four angels being unleashed, the demonic angels being unleashed once the Euphrates is dried up, and the 200 million man army. And so
right.
I just wanted to pair those both together with the fact that they're two separate scriptures of the same thing, and we've got two separate occasions going on in both Israel and the United States with China here, China there.
Right.
What an interesting possibility.
It is, because it is two different places. So I don't know. We'll
I know.
See.
It's a mystery. We'll watch it.
I know.
Very interesting, though.
Yep. These are exciting times to be in.
Absolutely.
That's for sure. Especially for a Christian. You know, we're watching.
Yep.
You know, at some point, he who restrains will be taken out of the way. And,
That's
you
right.
know, the United States being, 80% of the people in America profess to be Christians.
Yep.
But there are a significant number of true believers in America.
Yep.
Can you imagine the rapture being taken place? That takes America right out.
Yep. That's right.
I mean, it's going to be full of Bidens and BLM and Antifa and pew warmers.
Right.
That call themselves Christians that are going to make up America. There'll be nothing to restrain anything against Israel.
That's right.
You know, so yeah, quite an amazing time for
yep,
sure.
For sure.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and close things out. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, so glad to be here.
All right, guys. You have a blessed week. Be safe out there. And we should be on track for a Sunday weekly podcast. As long as unforeseen events don't rise up like they sometimes do. But otherwise, you have a blessed week. And join us every weekday morning at 7 a.m. for that's Pacific time for the morning commute out of Spokane on KTW Liberty Broadcasting. And you guys have a blessed and a safe week. Stay frosty. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.